From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. It's hard to imagine a school with no tests, no grades, no classes. But Dennis Littke and Elliot Washer, two maverick educators, have created something like that. 24 of them, in fact, in 6 states. Big picture schools are high schools with no more than 120 students. They emphasize work in the real world, portfolios, oral presentations, and intense relationships between students and advisors. At a time when there's a big emphasis on testing, big picture schools have a different idea. And they've gotten startup funding from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Many are still fledgling operations, but the model for these schools is 10 years old. It's called the Met. NPR's Margot Adler paid a visit.
When you walk into the Met, a public high school in Providence, Rhode Island, your first impression is a very nice school. As you watch a basketball game in the gym, you could be anywhere. The Met is housed in 6 separate buildings. 4 of them are red and white brick buildings on a street on the south side of Providence. Each building has a principal and a name: Unity, Justice, Liberty, Equality. The neighborhood is poor. There is a boarded-up crack house close to the school. But inside this alternative public high school, you won't find metal detectors or guards or bells. You'll find students, mostly black and Latino, working independently, many sitting at computers, some talking around conference tables. You quickly realize you're not in any high school you recognize.
The core idea of a school is so embedded in everybody, teachers, parents, kids. I had a kid say to me one time as I was trying to talk with him, he said, "Ah, you're not a real principal."
That's Charlie Plant, one of the 6 principals at the Met. He's noting that students often have a hard time adjusting to a school so unlike anything they've known. On paper, the idea of the Met is simple. You put 15 students with an advisor. You let them discover and follow their passions, interning 2 days a week with mentors in the community who relate those passions to the real world. The student might work at a hospital, a bakery, an architectural firm. School projects are designed by the mentor, the advisor, and the student together and are presented orally along with a portfolio every 9 weeks. Take 11th grader Vimar Rodriguez.
In 9th grade, I didn't know my choices.
She liked the medical field. She worked in a pharmacy. She tried several other things. But now her mentor is a neighborhood pediatrician.
Hi, Anyanix.
The pediatrician's office is crowded and bilingual. Rodriguez measures patients' height and weight and temperature. She writes in the files and helps the nurse when shots are given. Dr. Hector Cordero, her mentor, says Vimar knew little when she started.
I think she's learning a lot. I think it's motivating her to go into medical school, which is the most important thing.
Now Vimar plans to go to college and dreams of medical school. And she contrasts her own life with those of her friends at other schools.
They don't know where they're going, what college they're going, if they're going to get financial aid. And here I can look at different opportunities and different choices.
How does it really work with no grades, no tests, no classes? Besides the internship, students meet 3 days a week with advisors on their projects. Advisor Becky Siddons begins her morning advisory, reminding her 12th grade students to attend each other's oral presentation.
As you know, this is the last day of exhibitions, so if you can make sure that you are seeing the exhibitions that you need to see. The other thing, the big thing, is contract work is due today for you guys. So
Ben Bruder coordinates curriculum and assessment at the Met. He says projects are tailored to the interests of the students, the needs of the mentors, and advisors attempt to get academic rigor into the projects. So while you may never see a math class,
we're looking at how do you look at the world scientifically, how do you look at the world mathematically, how do you communicate effectively, what are the skills we can get out of this? And if we don't get the scientific reasoning we want out of this project, then we'll do it next time.
So one of Vimar Rodriguez's projects, the young woman in the pediatrician's office, was researching the prevalence of asthma in her community, a project that combined math, science, and writing. Everyone admits 9th grade at the Met is chaotic. Monica Val is in 10th grade, and she says when she first came to the Met, she acted out all the time.
So, like, at the beginning, I'd be, like, tantrums. Like, silly things, like, hide on the table because I didn't want Damien to make me do something. And I was like, let me see if they can handle me.
Her advisor, Damien Evans, says everything changed when Monica decided she wanted to work with disabled children.
Monica can walk into a school for disabled kids and start diagnosing what kids have and talk about symptoms and talk about, like, how they need to change their learning goals. And she's 16. And you can't give her a test to really do that, a standard test. These are all things that are very difficult to measure.
The bottom line is once students develop a passion, the chaos ends and everything shifts.
Their writing changes, their outlook on life changes, and their learning just jumps.
But the beginning is rocky. Dennis Littke is co-founder of the Met and author of The Big Picture, a book that lays out his ideas about education. The ninth graders come in, he says, and most of them have had pretty bad experiences in school.
Are pretty angry at school, had a pretty bad life at home, don't trust adults, surely don't trust teachers, and have been told what to do for 9 years. And then we are saying, follow your interests, follow your passion, make choices. They're not ready. They don't trust.
So educators at the school struggle over that half year before things click. They also have to convince parents. Vari Neal, a 12th grader who transferred to the Met from an all-girls school and will go to college in North Carolina next year, says her parents were resistant at first.
They couldn't quite understand how exactly I was going to be learning and how I was going to be prepared for college.
She says it took about a year and a half to turn them around. Dennis Littke says this is no boutique school. Admission is by lottery, and most students come from Providence and qualify for free lunch. The students take Rhode Island standardized tests, and their math and reading scores are higher than the scores at the three largest Providence high schools. Even so, fewer than half are proficient. But what's gotten most parents and many in the community to cheer are some other numbers.
And then Carlene was accepted to Roger Williams University, which is her first choice.
Almost every senior gets into college. 80% go to college. And 5 years later, most of those students are still in college or have graduated. Anyone will tell you that national dropout rates for Black and Latino college students are staggering. Dennis Littke says people used to laugh at us. Then they saw we had the lowest dropout rate in the state.
But they really became believers when they see every kid got accepted to college. So that's like, whoa, I thought you were having a good time. I thought you were having fun. But they actually got accepted to college, and then 5 years later, they're actually in college. They actually got accepted to Brown, to Sarah Lawrence, to Clark, Morehouse.
I've never seen a school that had so many children to go to college.
Parent Deborah Milers, whose daughter is going to Roger Williams College next year.
I mean, to actually go to college. You know, even if you're going through hard times, they're there to help you. They follow you for 10 years after you graduate. It isn't like, okay, there you are, you graduate, you're going. No, it ain't like that. You're welcome to come here, use their equipment, get some advice. They're there. They're there. And nobody is too busy for you.
Lisa Niebels, also a parent, says her son flunked sixth grade twice because he wouldn't do the homework. She remembers previous schools where she had to take vacation time to meet with the teachers. She tells war stories where administrators would say,
we know what's right for your child. We know that if he's having any problems, it's because of your unstable home life.
At the Met, she says, when the mentor, the advisor, the parent, and the student meet,
you go into that meeting as equals. It is not a top-down approach.
Dennis Littke says the dropout rate at the Met is 3%. There are kids who hit the streets, he says. There are kids who want a big school where they can be anonymous. It's not perfect, but it's a model that respects kids, gives them time to mature, and puts them with other adults.
We separate kids from adults in our world. So of course there's this generation gap.
Principal Charlie Plant says it's a struggle to get good teachers. It's a struggle to start new schools. There's still a lot to figure out.
What I truly love about the school is that it's real. And that the kids get to be out in the world in professional settings. And that's where the learning really happens.
Dennis Littke says they won't know how successful they really are until 15 years down the road, until they see their students succeed in the real world. They're tracking them, sending them letters and care packages in college, and they're optimistic. Margot Adler, NPR News.
You can hear more of our interview with Dennis Littke at our website, npr.org. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.